One.
You've heard of the bucket list? Well, welcome to the Fookit List, the Fookit List podcast with me, Nick Bramley. If you're a motivational speaker, setting goals and encouraging others to do so for no other reason than to feel good about themselves, then this is probably not the podcast for you. On the Fookit List podcast, we meet real people with real lives, not those sanitized for social media clicks and likes. We'll be discussing three things that the guests definitely do not want to attempt and why, plus one thing that they actually want to achieve that will probably take little or minimum effort, to be fair, all before they shuffle off this mortal coil. So relax, enjoy, and immerse yourself in the less than lofty ambitions of ordinary people, not forcing themselves to try to be extraordinary. I suspect we'll be discussing lots of beer, wine, travel and fun, but at least we'll be real and real people. Let's see. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Let's build a movement.
So welcome to another episode of the Fookit List. This week's guest is John McCartney, a retired fire safety engineer. And John contacted me when I was looking for guests, and I just like the cut of his jib. So welcome to the Fookit List podcast, John.
Thank you, Nick.
Great to see you. I think you've got three things that are interesting, and I'm fascinated by one of them, why you wouldn't want to do one of them. But I ask all the guests to pre-think three things that they don't want to do and one that they do, and I'll share one each of mine, and we'll see where we get to with that. So we'll start with the first one you sent through to me. And you got a bit of adversity against water skiing. Why have you got no intention of water skiing,
I have,
John?
No dislike of the water. I'm perfectly happy to go out in the sea and swim and so on and so forth. But I cannot see the point of taking a boat with a bloke or a woman, therefore, or a significant other, shall we call them, just in case we're politically incorrect, on a board. What is that?
Have you never done it?
I've been out on a jet ski and I was under-impressed by that either. It took longer to clean it than it did to use it.
The problem with jet skis for me is they look fabulous and they look exciting, look like motorbikes on water, but the experience is actually far from that. You end up bouncing around. You end up bouncing around, feeling quite sick, don't you, from the bow wave of your own sort of. You come back on yourself and whatever. So I totally get the jet ski thing. Water skiing's a bit like that, and it's bloody hard. I tried it in Mauritius, and it's all about keeping your arms straight and not sort of bending your elbows, and getting sort of seawater up your nostrils at 40 mile an hour is not much fun, but it was good to try and crack it. Have you tried it then, John?
Have you ever been in sails? Ergo, you've just done a brilliant reverse sail on the whole thing anyway. I wouldn't want to go, and I don't want to go. And yes, I've tried it, and no, I'm not going again. And yes, I've had salt water ascites, so ironically, I'm supposed to have salt water up my nostrils. So you'd think I'd be signing up for it and at the front of the queue. Me, no. Thank you, but no thank you. I'll syringe water up my nose. I don't need to drive. Goodness knows how many miles with a boat bobbling about on the back of a trailer. And then all this other load of old madam, getting it down the gangway, getting it down the slipway, putting it all into place, 20 minutes, bonging about doing that. Another guy's got to drive the boat for you anyway, unless you've got one you can use on remote control, which is almost what you're doing with a jet ski.
Yeah.
I used to ride motorbikes, and I feel safer on a Harley than I would on a jet ski.
Wow.
And I've ridden both.
Yeah.
So thank you, but no thank you. There you go. In a nutshell, I don't see the point.
No problem. I get that. Well, the bit that gets me is when you see people trying it for the first time and they're sat on the edge of a jetty and then the boat sort of tightens up the rope and they just get pulled full flung forward and hanging on for dear life. And they don't look like they're enjoying it, do they, to be fair?
No. I think until you've got really, really good at it, it's basically, I used to go skiing years ago, as in down slopes with ice and snow and rubbish, but there was some skill in that. you were actually navigating. The bloke in the front's navigating, you're just getting dragged along for the ride. Sit in the boat. Is there no more room in the boat?
I love the idea of the fact that you're just getting dragged along for the ride, then you don't class that as entertaining. So water skiing, definitely off your list then, John.
Yep, not going to be the water skiing. No fear. Also, I got cracked knees, so it's not an entirely good idea to go putting all that force and pressure on your knees.
Okay, we'll cover that on the third one, because your third one's a little bit sort of sporty. But the second one makes you sound like a curmudgeonly old bugger to me, by the way, John. Why don't
listen
you
to your old, Sonny.
Why don't you want to go to Disneyland? Disneyland's off your list. What's wrong with Disneyland?
Well, mostly because it's full of small, grumpy children that don't understand that they're not going to be allowed to see Mickey Mouse, because there is only one of him, there's one of Minnie, and the odds are that you're not going to see him, and you've just paid goodness knows what to see a load of plastic stuff.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I have never, ever got Mickey and Minnie Mouse. They are the most boring cartoon characters the world's ever known for me.
Well, the very fact that the Disney Corporation know exactly how to spin gold out of rubbish. They make Rumpelstiltskin look like an amateur.
That's a very, very accurate, cynical but accurate view. We once took the kids to see a Disney production, and the only reason it was a theatre, and the only reason we went was because it was for the kids, and the price of the tickets was the same for kids as it was for adults. My argument,
blimey, O'Reilly.
My argument was adults wouldn't be here watching this crap if the kids weren't here. The kids should have a lower price, or at least the adults should have a lower price. You know, do it in reverse. But
yeah.
Disney just fleece you at every corner, don't they? Really, yeah.
Yeah, you've done a grand job for me of explaining what the problem is. The problem is I don't like being taken for a ride literally or metaphorically.
That's a fair point. There seems to be a theme so far. The question I've got for you with Disney is, there's Disneyland Paris, there's Disneyland in Florida and Disney World, or the other way around, Disney World in Florida and Disneyland in California. I don't get how the French psyche can make you have a nice day delivered in the way that a typical French sort of under 18 student will deliver, have a nice day. It doesn't seem genuine to me. Would that be fair to you?
No, it is back to my comment about it being literally or metaphorically plastic. Plus, if you go to France, which my wife and I have done quite a lot, they've got an awful lot of very nice chateaus, thank you very much. Mm. Did they really fiberglass?
No.
The park at the top.
Yeah, to be fair, it is a money-making machine. It does feel sort of wrong in terms of it's very, like you say, plastic, but it's very pink as well. It's very candy floss and unrealistic. You know, I went to Epcot in the 80s and it seemed a bit futuristic to me, but I just didn't like the queuing. I didn't like the heat. I didn't like the you know, it was just a underwhelming experience. And the bit that gets me, by the way, when people go to Florida, they'll take the kids who are 3 and 4, pay an absolute fortune for these tickets for the rides and the parks and stuff. They won't bloody remember them at 3 and 4. You shouldn't be taking your kids to anywhere like that until they're at least 8, 9, 10, 11, when at least they can remember for the money that you spent for them.
Welcome to the Disney machine. You've got to go back.
I never thought of it like that, to say, well, we went 5 years ago, but you don't remember it. Let's spend the same money again on getting there. Costs you more for your park passes than it does for your hotel and your flights, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So Disneyland, very much off your list. That's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, third one. And it's to do with, I guess, with the same situation you mentioned with your knees. You used to do this previously, but you've got no intention of being able to do it anymore. What's the third thing on your list, John?
Rock climbing.
Wow.
Not just mountaineering to the top of Everest, but actually scaling the side of very... As you can see, I'm a retired fire safety engineer.
Yeah.
At the end of my career, I was actually doing fire risk assessments. Mm. And as such, you can't say, well, it's a 15-story block of flats, mate. I tell you what, let's go up in the lift. No, let's go up the stairs. You do three of those in a day and you've got the famous Fitbit on. I tell you what, you've done the stairs.
Yeah.
How many flights have you done? He's broken this thing here.
Fitbit's going bonkers on your wrist.
Yeah. They're just absolutely ridiculous.
Has that permanently damaged your knees then, that level of sort of stair activity?
Yeah, that's not helped. But I did earlier say I'd ridden the odd motorbike.
Mm.
I also parted company with the odd motorbike, which wasn't clever. Fortunately, no. I had a full set of leathers on both times, but
yeah.
you roll and then you bump.
Yeah, and you've got to be careful that the bike doesn't follow you and do the same trajectory, yeah. I guess, don't you? Yeah.
Note to self, you love the bike. It was expensive. Let go of it.
Yeah, because it's going to follow you otherwise. So,
exactly.
So rock climbing, the bit that gets me, the anomaly with this, is you mentioned safety and engineer in the same sentence, and then you said rock climbing. Rock climbing didn't strike me as a very safe spot. I know people are pegged on and they've got carabiners and all that kind of thing. Bloody hell, man, if you're a safety person, why would you do rock climbing in the first place?
Oh, no, I was rock climbing before I was a safety person.
All right.
So the inverse then is you've done your rock climbing, you go, oh, my Lord, I could have died.
Mm.
And then you go, I'll tell you what, I'll make sure somebody else doesn't die by being Mr. Grumpy for them.
Right. So when you were you still rock climbing when you were safety engineering or not?
No. Oh, look, goodness me, no. I'd given it up long since.
I was going to say, those two were mutually exclusive by the looks of them, weren't they?
I did park company with a cliff once.
Good grief. I'm assuming you hooked on or whatever.
Yeah, I was, but I managed to hit the ground.
So
fortunately, it was soft, dry sand.
Right. It still hurts, though, doesn't it?
I don't know. I woke up in hospital.
Well, I suspect that means it did hurt because otherwise you wouldn't have woken up in hospital. You'd have been conscious for the whole purpose of the thing, wouldn't you, really?
It does play havoc with your sense of humour.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. I've never fancied rock climbing. I did watch at the Olympics last year the speed rock climbing, which is astonishing, with a rock, a wall with the sort of hooks and stuff in. And they're going up there like mountain goats and things. But, you know, you have to have a certain level of fitness, skill, speed, and a bit of madness to do that, really. But it was quite an interesting little sport I'd never seen before.
My son used to do bouldering, and he's one of these idiots that does long-distance running. He does 100 miles in 24 hours.
Whoa.
And it's in the same region as that. Thank you, but no thank you.
Just, I'll be honest with you, just get in the car and drive. You want to go 100 miles in 24 hours, get the car out. You know, it's much easier. Or get your motorbike out, John.
Yeah, exactly.
Much
there
easier.
We go.
Well, my one thing, I always say to the guests, three things you don't want to do. So we've ticked off water skiing, we've ticked off Disneyland big style, we've ticked off rock climbing, and I think that's down to no more rock climbing. The thing I don't want to do, and then we'll never do, I'll never be the guy who moans about a little bit of weather. Now, I don't know about you, but the last couple of weeks have done my Sweden, right? It's too hot, it's too dry. Oh, it's not like, oh, it's warmer than it is in Mallorca. It's hotter than Thailand, you know. Tomorrow, it'll be pissing down. So don't worry about 2 days of heat. My daughter graduated at Newcastle University in 33 degrees of heat. I would much rather she graduated in 33 degrees of heat than in hailstones and rain and horizontal, vertical rain coming at you from all angles, because we had a bloody lovely day. It was a bit warm. There's plenty of shade. We had plenty to drink. It was lovely. Enjoy it. Stop moaning about the weather, because I won't be that guy. I would love it to be 28 degrees all year round. I've been to Los Angeles only for a week. 28 degrees, morning, noon and night. It was bloody amazing. So stop moaning about the weather, because I won't be doing that. What's your thoughts on that, John?
Absolutely agree with you. I'm also terrified about the idea of being trapped in a room with Greta Thunberg.
Oh, great. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, if you're trapped in a room with her, she'd ask you to stop breathing, wouldn't she, so that you weren't creating any sort of carbon emissions. So, yeah,
absolutely.
She's a scary little dude, isn't she? But, I mean, she's very worthy, but she's a very scary little individual. So, three things you don't want to do. One thing I definitely don't want to do is be the morning weather guy. What's the one thing you would like to do more of before we shuffle off this mortal coil, John? What's on your actual bucket list?
Go back to, or more importantly, go to the ones I haven't been to, the cities of Italy.
Wow. Okay.
Absolutely love Italy. Love all the cities. And I'm not a beach person. Probably that's why I'm not a water skier.
Yeah.
And my wife and I just love walking around looking at the bits that, ironically, are not on the tourist trail.
Give us an example of where,
Venice.
Give us an example of where, you know, where have you been and where would you like to go back to and where haven't you been to that's on your list to achieve?
Well, 9 times out of 10, top of our list is Venice, closely followed by Florence.
Mm-hmm.
And Venice, what we've done for the last couple of years, ticket for 3 days or somewhere about that, and just used it as a hop-on-off bus.
Mm.
And we went round and we looked at the other islands in the lagoon that are not the ones that have got this, that and the other. And they're absolutely amazing. In the middle of St. Mark's.
No one does that, do they, John? No one does the other. They all do St. Mark's Square and you know, the Bridge of Sighs and all that kind of stuff. But they never do the other stuff. It's a massive lagoon and there's lots of other places to see and visit.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, it sounds grim, but we got permission to go to the Isle of the Dead.
Hmm.
We actually went to the cemetery. And as effectively a list of who did what, where, when and why, it's amazing.
Mm.
We went for a walk round and the nice lady that was running it let us walk round and look at some of the gravestones, and she started explaining that, yes, there was a plague this particular year, or there was a something else this, and we didn't have any something else this year. Mm. And you'll see on the gravestones, it effectively reads as the rings on a tree.
Yeah.
This is what happened this year, that year, the other year. And it had never, ever occurred to me before. It is. It's a calendar, a reverse calendar.
Yeah. Some of these things, I've been to the Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris. And, Edith Piaf and Jim Morrison and various other people are buried there. And I went on a quiet Sunday morning, and it's just a tranquil, peaceful place to be, and really enjoyed that. So I'll tell you a quick story about Rome, okay? I'm from the northeast of England, and one of the things I say about being from the northeast is that we built the world, okay? I'm proud of the fact that we built steel and bridges and infrastructure and all that kind of thing. I've lived in York for 30 years, and people say, where are you from? I say, York. They all say, York's lovely. Nobody ever said that about Stockton-on-Tees, but I'm okay with that. Now, I was on a call with a client a little while ago, and we were doing this introduction to each other. It was a global client, and they're saying, tell me a bit about you. So I said, I'm from York. I said, it's a Roman city. I said, lots of tourists. I said, but I'm actually from further north. I said, I'm from the industrial heartland of England. I'm proud to say that we built the world. And this guy from Rome just looked at me, he went, I beg to differ. And I thought, fair point, well made, really. And sort of, I'd overplayed the we built the world comment with him. And he just went, and I thought, fair dues. And York's a lovely place, but when you go to the Colosseum in Rome, you look at that, you go,
absolutely. Yeah,
it's slightly better and bigger than anything we've got over here. It's a fabulous place. So where's on your list of places you've not been then? Give us one that you'd like to go to you've not been
Siena.
To. Vienna.
Siena.
I was going to say, because Vienna's not in Italy last time.
No, it's Siena. Not. Siena.
Siena, okay. What's Siena got that you fancy?
Basically, just the cathedral. A friend of ours, a few doors down, she goes down there quite regularly because she's got family there.
Yeah.
She has warned me that it's got a cathedral, don't find very much else.
Yeah.
But some people look at things differently. Having retired from the construction industry, I look at buildings. I don't look at the pretty bits. Mm. I just look at buildings.
Yeah.
They're what I not so much get off on, but take pleasure in observing.
Just be
I'm
careful.
The one that's looking up into the building instead of looking around all the stuff in the shop.
Just be careful, though, because there's a couple of Russian guys do like a cathedral visit, apparently. That's the reason they travel. But they tend to leave a bit of Novichok behind them. That was the reason that they went to Salisbury. Yeah, apparently. So cathedral watching is definitely a thing in Putin's world, but that's probably not going to get published on this podcast.
I could get myself into trouble here.
Could do. Well, it was me who said it, not you. So if there's only a cathedral there and you see two Russian people, just be very careful. Anyway, last thing for me. So we've done three for you and one for me, and one that you definitely want to do. And I totally, totally understand the Italian love of Italy. I've been to Rome. I've been to Florence. I've been to Venice. And fabulous. The people, the culture. I just love the whole sort of vibe about it. the one thing I've got on my list for today, and I share one every episode, is I'd like to tick off all 92 grounds in the top four divisions of the English Football League. And I've done 66. I'm a Middlesbrough fan. I've got to quite a few away games. We've been in the top two divisions for a long time. I've been into some grounds where teams are now being relegated and stuff. So I've done 66 out of the 92. I'd like to get the 92 ticked off before I shuffle off this mortal coil. And that's just a little thing I can do with my son or with some mates and stuff. And, you know, I like football. I watch football. So if I go and watch a league, a League Two game between two teams, I don't have any skin in the game, I'll still tick the box and say I've been to that particular ground. So that's me for this week, really, John. So a quick review. Water skiing, no, under any circumstances. Rock climbing, no, because your knees are knackered and you know the safety implications of that. And Disneyland because you don't like being ripped off by somebody who's built a pink plastic palace. Would that be fair?
Yep. That pretty much sums it up.
Excellent. Well, listen, I'm just going to do the outro for the podcast and say thank you for being a great guest on the podcast this week. And oops, there you go. We hope you've enjoyed this Phuket List podcast. Please remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Support the podcast to get automatically your future episodes on whatever channel you wish to download or view. And if you've got a sense of humour in your own Phuket List, why not reach out and be a guest in the future? We'd love to hear from you. And I'm trying to build something of a movement. People who are the antidote to unrealistic goal setters with bucket lists that are boring and predictable. So without further ado, thanks again, John, for being a guest. This podcast is going to be available exclusively on YouTube. Search Phuket List Podcast or click on the logo that's on this screen if you're watching this on a previous episode of YouTube. And all that remains is to go to the outro music and say thanks again to John.